Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Rooted Deep, a podcast featuring Reba Bowman and Allison Hale.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rooted Deep podcast. I'm Reba. I'm here with my good buddy Allison, and we get to kind of join you every week in talking about things that cause us to be successful in life. And our kind of our theme, Allison, I mean, it's the name of our podcast. I mean, is really based in Psalm 1 about what roots us deep and guarantees this seasonal, you know, growth in our life. And I think that is a really great and worthy topic to talk about all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I feel like we keep going back to Psalm 1 so often is because it's the basics of the fundamentals of the way it's supposed to be. And it's not, I think a lot of people really want more of a mystic kind of, what's the mystery? What's the secret? We need the tips. Yeah. And it's like, once you say it, once you say the thing, that's what we have to go back to. And thinking of, I mean, right now we live out on the property. We're starting to plant. We're starting to work some of the soil. You know, we've got the sod obviously, but we've got some mango trees planted. We've got some, you know, just different, you know, different things that we're trying to see, but some of the basic things that we need to do is the watering and the preparing of the soil and the bringing, you know, and the pruning. And it isn't really rocket science. And it's the same thing with Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is like, this is how it's done. And that's why we keep going back to it. And that's why I love the series that we've been working on so far.
Oh, yeah. If you've been joining us, we've been in this Experiencing God book study, really. We've encouraged you to go buy the book, download it on, you know, Audible or whatever you do, and join us every week in reading a book that's actually been around for a long time. In fact, there's a lot of people that maybe you're younger and you like Experiencing God, Blackaby. I don't even know what that is. And it's great. We love being able to bring back some, what we call the classics every now and then to say, if you haven't read this book, you need to, because I think what Blackaby does in such a brilliant way is he says things that we all know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says them in a way that can be light bulb moments for us all. It's like, okay, I knew that, but wow, that was really good. That's really powerful. That's a really strong statement. And he's super practical in what it looks like to walk with God and to know the will of God. And I think those are things that as believers, if you're a child of God, you're constantly maybe mulling around in your head, what does it look like to follow after God, to experience God in a real true way, and to know what his will is?
Right. And one of the things that I feel like there's some people that we've come in contact and, you know, it's certain people just have, they seem to have this, almost like they're closer to heaven than everybody else kind of situation. Not because they're, but it's because they really
not because
are,
they're 89, but for some other reason. Right?
Okay. But because they are really, it's almost like they've got that direct line, and other people are like, how do I live that way? And when you ask them, because I was with somebody the other day and I was like, how are you living this faith? Again, it's like, yeah, well, I, you know, read my Bible. I pray. I talk to God constantly. We're talking to praying without ceasing. And I was like, oh yeah,
It's the basics again.
Just slap me in the face with the basics. But I have just really enjoyed, like you said, being reminded of the things basically I already knew, but saying it in a new, fresh way, and not really all that new and not really all that fresh. But when you read this book a couple of times or several times, like you and I have, it's, some little light bulb moments, kind of a situation. So it's been a blessing.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, we're kind of getting closer to the end. We're about 3/4 of the way through. We're looking at chapter 18 today of the book, where he's going to talk about something that I think is, you know, I'm going to put it this way. It's so easy for all of us to talk about things. We can dialogue. We can listen to podcasts. We can go have coffee with a friend, and we can meet in the lobby after church, and we can say, man, wasn't that a great message Pastor preached today? And that was fantastic. And that was awesome and whatever. But there's a moment that there's a green light that you have to push.
Right.
And nothing is activated until that button is pushed.
Yeah.
And you know, the lights don't come on. Nothing moves until that button is pushed, and that button is obedience.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, it is easy to trick ourselves into believing that we're being obedient because we're talking about it.
Right.
But we're not necessarily doing it, you know?
Right. Yes, exactly. And I think, but this word we've talked about it, and it's kept coming up throughout this book. Mm-hmm. And so then when you get to chapter 18, that is the chapter. It is the title of the chapter. Mm-hmm. It requires experiencing God, joining God requires obedience. And you're just, you know, and like you said, it's gotta be an action. We talked about this last week in last week's podcast, that it has to be put into action. Our adjustments have to be made. We can't just talk about it. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to do this. Like you said, it does require doing something instead of just sitting around and talking about it. This is not theoretical. Obedience is not, you know, it isn't in theory, you know,
right.
No,
And you know, and I think sometimes because I'm the consummate dieter, so I can say this. I think sometimes it's like being on it. You know, you can, just because you go shop at Trader Joe's, doesn't mean you're going to lose weight.
Right.
And just because you talk about an exercise program or you talk about what you want to do, but you don't ever actually go do it, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose weight. When you start to lose weight is when you actually put the plan into action. Right. And so, but sometimes, not, this is true. Sometimes just talking about it makes you feel like you might be losing weight.
Right. That is true. You can trick your brain.
You really can. You know, you're like, you know what? You've kind of feel like, man, I'm really doing good. Mm. And you're not doing anything. You're just talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think the spiritual life is the same way. I think the enemy would love for us to talk about doing a lot of things, but never actually go through with it. So I think to start the podcast, this is a great question for us to ask to our listeners as well as to us. And that is just simply, how much are we walking in obedience? Mm. Are we talking about being obedient? Do we have a knowledge about what it looks like to obey, but we're just not doing it? Because that really, getting up every day and activating that obedience in our life is really what, it's what opens the floodgates for everything else that's going to follow. And so if I'm never activating that butt, or very rarely, then, you know, my life as a whole I'm not experiencing God like I want to experience him, because he's like, well, you got to do what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we keep going to, you know, which we're going to talk about. We keep going to that. We want these big burning bush moments.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, wait a minute, did you do what I told you to do this morning? You know, before, you know, and you don't get the burning bush moments when you're not really walking in obedience to begin with. I just don't think they show up. So I'm excited about talking about this today, because I think it's really crucial for all of us to have a heart check in this area and just make sure. It's almost like a good slap in the face a little bit to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm talking about it, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I think that's a really important way to start. The way you've started this podcast is, okay, we're going to talk about obedience, but the next step is the doing. And you and I both talked about this. We bookmarked this area just right at the beginning of this chapter of what are the ideas? What is obedience? And Jesus has told us all this. So it's not like we've come up with, or Blackaby even, he hasn't even come up with something new. He's really just saying, here's what Jesus said. I'm boiling it down to these few things. And one of them, you know, is in John 14. If you love those who don't love me, will not keep my commandments, will not keep my words.
Yeah.
And obedience is the outward expression of your love for God. And some people, I mean, everybody, nobody wants to admit out loud. Nobody will say, I don't love God. Nobody's going to say that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody's going to say, of course I love God. But absolutely. Do your actions, does your obedience bear that out? And we all have to, I feel like we all have to ask ourselves that. It's not like it's arrived.
No, I think so. Because, you know, I think, and another way we can look at that too is, you know, we love ourselves so much. And sometimes we love ourselves more than we love anything else. I love me and I love my way and I love what I want. And it's not that I don't love Jesus. It's just in comparison to how much I love myself, Jesus says, look, you know, Jesus, these are important words because Jesus, these are some of the last words of Jesus before he goes to the cross. And these are one of the last discussions he's going to have with these disciples prior to the cross. And so what is he saying? He's like, look, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And I think at this moment, these disciples are overwhelmed with, because Jesus has just told them, you know, I'm going to the cross. And he said it multiple times, but they haven't bought into it yet. And they're realizing, man, he's really serious and something's serious. Something's wrong here. Something's getting ready to change and they can feel it. And Jesus says, look, if you really love me, what you've got to do is you got to keep the commandments that I'm showing you. And if you, you know, if you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. And John, who was in the room that day when Jesus made these statements, John would go on to write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And if you read 1st John, John is going to blast you with these reminders over and over again. And I wonder, as he's penning these words in 1st John, if he's not reflecting back to that moment in that upper room when Jesus is like, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because John is like, look, if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, you can't claim to be his child.
Right. Yeah. I know John took it like really deep and just said, you know, because it's like, it follows. If this doesn't happen, then this does. And the progression is, and just like, and the progression is maybe you're not a child of God. You know, are you going to go that far? And there does have to be that search me moment to it say, does. Okay, why am I struggling to obey?
Yeah.
Get back to the love, get back to, do I love God? And then the selfishness that you mentioned. Now I do, the degree is different. I love myself so much more that I'm doing what I want to do. I'm obeying my will. And we've talked about this we do Celebrate Recovery with our women. We're going through the steps with the women at the workshop. Yeah. And that third step of just surrendering, not just our lives, and you're trusting God for our salvation, but surrendering our will. And we've like sat in that moment for several weeks, just talking about, I love God enough to accept him and give him my soul. So I go to heaven, you know, I'm thankful for that. But then my daily will, my daily walk, that's the one that I'm struggling. You know, that's the one. And we sit there in small group. And I share, you know, I'm not going to share what anybody else shares. I'm not allowed to, but I can share what I share. I do share that I struggle with that daily, that daily will. And the word in Spanish is coming to me, but not in English, that daily will surrender. I need to surrender daily. And that's what obedience needs to be.
Yeah, no, you're so exactly right. Because, you know, Blackaby says obedience is the outward expression of your love for God.
Yeah.
And that's a huge statement. I mean, when you think about it, you know, if you have an, you know, he also says this, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, you know, it is very much we go back to this word trust. It's another word that we're constantly talking about. But when I love somebody, I've put my trust in them, and there's an absolute unconditional love that I have for them. It's unguarded and it's unboxed. It's kind of, I let it flow. If I don't trust somebody, or if I'm scared somebody's going to hurt me, I love differently. I box my love in a little bit. I hedge it in a little bit. I build walls a little higher, and I may let a little love seep out for them here and a little love seep out for them there. But as a general rule, I'm not unguarded because I don't fully trust them, because I don't know, maybe they're going to hurt me. Maybe something's going to happen and it's not going to go the way I want. And I just don't want to be pulverized again. And so I'm just going to keep I'm just going to keep this hedge built up around my heart. Yeah. And when I don't think we can ever really step into obedience the way God wants us to, if in our relationship with Him, we don't tear the walls down. And that means I trust Him fully. I trust Him with my life. I trust Him with tomorrow. I trust Him with today. And I can there's nothing between me and God, no wall, no hedge. I let it all down, and my love pours out freely for Him, and His love then flows freely back in my life. And for, I think sometimes the reason that we struggle with obedience is because we struggle with trust. Is this going to work out the way I want it to? It seems restrictive. It seems hard. It seems like the not fun path. This doesn't feel like it's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And all of these things, it's like, wait a minute, do you trust Him?
Yeah.
And then you get to that and it's like, okay, well, how do I answer that question? Do I really trust Him? Well, you'll know by your love. You know, because if you trust Him, there's this outright, as you love Him so deeply, you build this trust for Him and you understand I can trust Him with all things. And so I think, you know, this is beautiful, intricate, woven pattern of all of these factors together, obedience, trust, and love, that really cause us to be able to experience God at a level that there's something in us that yearns to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about sometimes we like to think about our relationship, you know, from the father child relationship that we have with God, and that is a relationship, but also another type of our relationship, another facet of God, is the fact that we are to serve. Mm-hmm. We are His servants, and servants, just like children, are dependent on that master for everything, but in this case also completely 100% obedient. It's not like we're not supposed to question. We're not supposed to negotiate. And I feel like I negotiate a lot, but we're not supposed to, if we look at.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, and so just that negotiation, we have to get rid of that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think that when we think about our obedience, it really reveals what we believe about God. And it ultimately, you know, do I believe God is who He says He is? Do I believe He can do what He can do? Well, if I believe God is who He says He is, and I believe that He can do what He can do, then I'm going to turn around and say, you know what? I've put my full trust in Him. I'm leaning fully on Him. He's got my full weight on Him. And so, you know, as Blackaby says, our obedience really reveals what we believe about God. And I think it's all good for all of us today to go, okay, wait a minute, let's stop. And let's just think about, what do I really believe about God? And how does my obedience say that? Because again, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually walk in it. And so I look at my obedience and am I walking in obedience? And you know, that's simply boiled down to, Allison, am I doing what is obvious, what I know to do? Am I doing that?
Yeah.
Right.
And
you know,
I think so many people are like we've said before, so many people are waiting for these moments of I will, as soon as God gives me a task, I'm going to do it. As soon as God gives me a job, as soon as He reveals what His big plan for me, you know, I'm going to step into that. Mm-hmm. But will you? Because you're not even going to know. And so, I mean, if you're not doing that daily, like you said, that daily obedience, obeying what we know to do today, again, with that will, it's like, what is God's will? I want to know this big plan picture. Well, God's will is for you today is to wake up, not lay in bed all day and read His word, you know, go to work, do your studies, do this, do that, you know, and just do the things that He has told you to do right then. You know, care for your family, be kind to people. I mean, just there's these little things that we're supposed to be obeying daily, because that's the path that Blackaby has brought us down, right? the read your Bible, yeah, the pray, the making sure you're in communion, and not just with God, but with, you know, kindness to others and all of the things, because he's not going to tell you to obey the big things unless if you can't handle these little yeah, tasks.
Yeah, no, exactly right. You know, I remember when I was, I wanted to run a 5K, and I was like, you know what? I know I've had some knee surgeries, but I really think I could run this 5K. And, you know, so I was like, okay, the couch to 5K or whatever, you know, but I remember starting, and at the very beginning, I was just running like a half a mile, and then I'd walk the other mile.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then I could run a mile, mm-hmm, and then, but I'd walk another mile, you know, I couldn't run two. And it was like every single day, just getting out there and just running.
Yeah.
And then I could run a little further and I could run a little further. And eventually it was really weird. There was a moment, and I'll never forget it, when I was, because I hit like a 5K is like 3.1 miles. I think it's right.
Yeah.
And so I hit the 2 mile marker, and I was like, I was so excited. I just ran 2 miles. That, you know, for me, that was awesome. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And the next day I was going to, you know, run like 2 miles again and just kind of repeat that.
Yeah.
And so for a couple of days I repeated that 2 miles, and I was like, yeah. And I'll never forget the next week that I was going to go run, I was supposed to increase like maybe 2.5 or something like that. And a friend of mine was like, hey, let's, you want to run together? And I'm like, sure. Mm. And without thinking that day, I ran three and a half miles.
You ran a 5K.
Yeah, I ran a 5K that day. And so I was like, and when it was over with, I was like, oh my goodness, I just did it. Uh-huh. And it was this moment where I made this big jump. But it was a lot of moments before the big jump,
right,
when I was just taking little baby steps. I was just getting a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like, woo, I made this big jump. And I think all of us would love to get up in the morning and say, I want to run a 5K today.
Right.
And I'm just going to step outside and just go run one.
Yeah.
But
it's just that easy.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy for us to think that. So I think for all of us, it's so important that we just are, am I being obedient in what I know to do?
Right.
And it's like you said, you know, it's being kind to one another, watching our words. What are my thoughts? You know, what's going on in my marriage? What's going on with my parenting? What's going on with my relationships?
Right.
You know, what does it look like? You know, in my daily life, am I doing what I know to do is right?
And it sounds like this. Yeah. And these sound like something that would be a really good journaling moment as well. Like sit down,
right?
Take stock. And even if you need to write it down and say, where am I obeying? Where am I, what is, you know, like you said, list them off: my marriage, my family, my job, my, you know, my church family, and just look and say, am I really, you know, or is there something that I need to adjust? And pray. I mean, honestly, pray over that and just have, this is that, again, that search me, oh God,
oh
moment,
God, yeah,
to say, what is there something in me right now that looks a lot like your enemy? Is there something in me that looks a lot like the people who aren't in obedience? And, and it's not, and he's not, but these search me moments are healing. I feel like my background in independent fundamentalism, they're like, if you ask God to search you, boy, you better be ready for the results. It's going to hurt. It's going to burn. It's going to, you know, that wasn't God's invitation. God's invitation is, hey, open it up. Let me look in. Let me see, you know, I can already see anyway, but so we can clean, so we can heal, we can bring each other closer. And I think that's that search me moment. And so this is a take stock daily, or even phone a friend kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm working on some obedience issues right now. We've been talking about it, but there's some steps. Yeah. What do you think? Where do you think I should? And if you have an accountability friend, if you don't have accountability, grab one. Cause these are the things that, but not just talk about it, because then your friend's going to call you in the next week and say, hey, have you been doing it? Cause we're not going to get together for coffee and talk about it again. We're going to actually,
Yes. Yeah, you know, and one of the things I think that Blackaby says that just is profound, simply profound, is your obedience reveals what you believe about God. And I think it goes back to why aren't we being obedient? If I notice areas of disobedience in my life, why?
Yeah.
And a lot of times if I'm transparent and honest and I get down to it, the reason I'm not being obedient is because I don't believe that God knows best, or I don't, you know, whatever it is. I know that I want what I want, whatever it is. And I think that when we get down to it, we have to say, wait a minute, that really reveals to me what I believe about God, because is he good? Is he loving?
Yes.
Is he trustworthy? Is he faithful? Does he love me so much that he has my best in mind? Is he a good shepherd? Is he all of these things? And if I say, yes, he is, then I need to realize that my selfishness is only destructive to me, and God's way is the best way. And there's this amazing passage at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus ends this whole series, this really wonderful sermon that he's been preaching. He ends it with a story, actually. He starts the story off by just simply saying that if you obey my words. So he's talking about obedience, you know, and if you hear my words and you know my words and you obey my words, and if you don't, you don't. And he goes into this parable. There's two people who built a house. One built it on the rock and one built it on the sand. And the storms came, and the one who built his house on the rock, his house stood. And the one who built his house on the sand, it fell.
Yeah.
And Jesus ends his sermon. It's like drop mic moment, right? I mean, it's like, there we go.
That's everything
I've been saying to you, you know, Matthew 5, 6, 7, you know, he's going chugging down through here. And now he brings this, boils this all down. And he says, now, what are you going to do with what you know to do?
Yeah.
And you're either going to be like the guy who builds his house on the rock or the sand.
Yeah.
And storms will come. And the way you choose is going to determine what happens with your life. And I think for all of us, we need to go, wait a minute. That's really, oh my goodness, where, according to that story and according to Jesus's own words and based on my own pattern of obedience, what am I building my life on?
Right. Exactly. And what is rooted? Where do I have roots? You know, I think that's one of the things, because obedience, this daily obedience, we don't trust God with like I said, with our eternal life, with our eternal destination, but we don't trust him with our daily happiness, because we have a different view of, if I start obeying God, I'm really not going to enjoy it as much as if I just, you know, did my own thing, you know, and even that, and that's hard to, but again, this is one of those search me moments to be, is that really where I am? Is that really what I'm concerned about? But the building my life on the sand, because you want to get there. It's just like the people who just want to get there fast. It's so much easier to just build a structure on top of sand. It's easy. But the digging and the work and the foundational work that's those daily obedience moments that God gives you opportunities daily, hourly, to continue to obey, whether it's, you know, speaking about him to, you know, to a neighbor, or whether it's being kind, you know, at work, or whether it's working hard and not skipping out early, you know, even those moments are opportunities just to say, number one, I'm obeying you and I want the glory to go to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but again, it's that foundational living on the rock, and so, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. It's what's the opposite? It's sin.
Yeah.
So what's the opposite of obedience? You know?
So absolutely. Walking in a pattern of sinfulness. And I think, you know, a lot of people would say, well, Reba, you know, if I obey God, I'm not going to get to, you know, I'm not going to get to marry this person. If I obey God, I'm not going to get to date this person. If I obey God, I'm not going to get to say what I want to say. I'm not going to get to, you know, continue to act this way, you know, whatever it is. And here's the deal. Without a doubt, there is a cost to being obedient. There's no question. In fact, Jesus would paint the cost pretty boldly. Most people would have hidden the cost, you know.
Yeah.
It's like those commercials, those drug commercials where they're like, oh, take this. It's going to change your life. Side effects
are,
you know,
possible death is always
very
the
quiet,
end.
Very fast, very quiet, you know, and you could die, but take this drug because it's really awesome. Okay. And you know, a lot of people, that's how they would present this. Hey, you know, follow Jesus. You're going to get all this wonderful stuff and you get heaven and you get blessed and you get everything. Side effects, you know, you have a cross to bear and there's going to be, you know,
persecution and people are going to,
but Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was bold. He was out front. Yeah. He was like, look, there's a cross to bear and there it's a narrow way.
Yeah.
And it's a hard path.
Right. There's a yoke.
But it leads to great things.
Right.
And the other path is super wide and it looks like it's a lot of fun at the beginning, but it only leads to destruction.
Right.
And so, you know, knowing that, you have to say, well, yeah, there is a cost to being obedient.
Yeah.
But here's what I would offer. There's a cost to being disobedient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the greater cost is disobedience.
Right.
Without a doubt. I mean, when you study scripture, when you look at the lives of people that you know, I mean, you do not have to look around long to see the cost of disobedience versus the cost of obedience.
Yeah. And looking at that again, the cost of obedience on the front end, I get, and that's what Jesus said. Hey, listen, it's going to be a hard path. I'm going to be with you the whole time, but it is hard. So you can either be with me in the hard or you can be alone and it's going to get, you know, and where is that destination going to take you? And so, yeah, like you said, there's a cost to obedience, but it's not nearly as bad as the cost of disobedience.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was dean of women at a Christian university here in Chattanooga and loved my job, loved working with young women on campus, loved the college setting, was having the time of my life. And then realizing over a period of about a year that God was asking me to step away from all that.
Yeah.
And it was time to move and to step into something different. And even though I was excited about what God was going to have me step into, there was a level of excitement. It wasn't like I was like, oh, this is going to be awful. But at the same time, I loved my job and I didn't want to step away from it. I loved what I was doing. And what I wanted to do was both.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that feeling. Can I do both? Mm. And it was really clear at the time. God, the only thing that was clear was that, no, I couldn't do both. And how this new plan was going to work, I had no idea. And the old plan, I was settled in that. It was smooth. I was getting a paycheck, right? You know,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
I was able to take comfort. Care of my needs and I was loving my job. And, you know, so it was one of those things where I'll never forget wrestling with God over leaving that position.
Yeah.
And then surrendering that, leaving and stepping out into obedience. And Allison, like the next 3 years were some of the hardest years in my adult life.
Right.
And it was like, whoa, wait a minute. Have I done something wrong? And it was like, no, you know, sometimes being obedient doesn't mean that everything's going to come up roses the minute you take that step.
Yeah.
And there is a cost.
Yes.
And I walked through that cost. And now, I mean, I'm sitting on the other side of that 24 years later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking at what God has done in the last 24 years. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what if I had not taken that step?
Right.
And, and I think for all of us, understanding that what I'm holding on to and what I'm envisioning in my mind is going to be, you know, there's nothing that's going to be better than obedience. And, you know, even if it costs and even if it's hard at first, and even if it's painful and there's valleys, it's getting through that to get to the other side of that, to show for God to be able to show you, this is why I led you away. This is why I'm doing this. This is what's going on here. And so, you know, I think we have to say that because I think people say, oh, okay, Bob, you know, cause there's an element out there. Oh, obey God and you get a new Mercedes and you get, you know, and you get $1 million and you get a this and you get a that, you know, and That's not the life I see. You know, that's just not the life I see for believers that walk in Christ. There is a cross to bear. There are difficult days. So there's no sense of hiding that. Obedience does have a cost to it. No question.
Yeah. And
but
I
if
think
you don't obey.
That's true. But I feel like sometimes in the United States of America, things are so much cheaper than they are in other countries. And I feel like even our faith is so much cheaper. Mm. You know, we visited countries where it is, I mean, you and I were in Cuba. Yep. And I remember visiting all day long, the millions of women, millions of steps in the hot sun. I feel like all of
the
steps that you and I have
taken.
Right? Yes, exactly. I feel like you and I should be the thinnest, most fittest person. If God blessed track passing steps
visited all of Cuba. Yes.
All of Cuba. And just the Western portion, really. Let's not exaggerate. Just entire Western
side. That's good.
But when you know the work that had to be done for even us to be allowed to visit those women that day.
Yeah.
We haven't struggled. We haven't been persecuted to that degree in Cuba. And when I was in Romania, the foundation of the church that we were visiting, they used to have to, their pastor used to have to preach from behind a wall.
Yeah.
So that his people didn't know who he was, just in case there were spies in the congregation that would sell him out, you know, to the Soviet regime. That I feel like in the United States, that persecution, it's really, we've just been lulled into more complacency, you know, and so our cost, even it's just harder to get up in the morning, not because we're going to get persecuted, just because we have so many distractions and so many things, that it's still obedience. We still must obey. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes they're like, well, in the United States, things don't really cost that much, you know, and not yet. And I feel like we're seeing something coming. At the same time, and when it does get here, have we been obedient? Have we been living out our faith in such a public manner and obeying in such a way that when it does get harder, we've worked ourselves up to that 5K moment.
Yeah. Cause you know, I think such a great point. If we can't obey God in the easy, will we obey him in the hard? And I'm most convinced the answer is absolutely not, because we can't obey him in the easy.
Yeah.
And I think for all of us, you know, it's just, these are just great moments to say, wait a minute, I want my life to be blessed by God. I want to experience him. I want a relationship with him. I want to know him at a higher and a better level. So therefore, if I want these things, then Jesus said, okay, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, walk in obedience. And when you do these things, you will experience me. In fact, Jesus would go on in John 15 to say, if you'll abide in me and my words abide in you, okay, then much fruit is going to abound in your life.
Yeah.
And he would go on and we'd talk about how that connects to how abiding connects to obedience.
Yeah.
And so for all of us, we're never going to have this really special walk with Christ and experience God in the daily if we're not walking in obedience in the daily.
Right, exactly. And I feel like, you know, and again, this is a shameless plug for your book, Gravel Road Growth, because that is just explaining what it is. It's like to the obeying and the abiding and all of that daily, I feel like that daily path that we should be walking on. Reba, if you haven't read this book or done this Bible study, Reba has a book, Gravel Road Growth, and it's John, is it 13 through 15, right?
That's the core. We highlight core. 16 and 17, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's those though that, because it's not like you just have arrived. There is that daily path of walking in obedience and the abiding, the living down in it. And it's all connected to his words. It's all connected to him, who he is, and connecting our life to him and walking with him. And that's where the abiding happens. That's how the obedience is going to happen, but it's not from, you know, it's not 0 to 90 in one day. It is a daily walk.
Yeah. And you know, what's great about those passages is those guys that sat in that room that day, and Peter, perfect example, in that room that day, he said, God, I will fight with you to the death. You can always count on me, basically, is what Peter said in that room that day. And in less than 5 hours,
right,
Peter has cut off a guy's ear, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, Peter's going to really fight for Christ. But then he fled.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, okay, you know, within 12 hours, probably, he's at a fire, and in fear, he said, I don't even know him.
Yeah.
And so you've got this guy who went from, I will go to the death with you, I will go with you wherever you go, to he's running and he's walking in disobedience, and denying, he's lying, and he's doing everything the opposite of what he said he would do.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, if you know Peter's story, it's such a tender story. After Jesus rises from the grave, Mark tells us that he talked to Peter first.
Yeah.
He goes, finds Peter, and he gets it right with Peter. And then we see this beautiful recommissioning. John tells us the recommissioning of Peter in this whole Do You Love Me sequence. And Peter then turns around and preaches Pentecost. And the book of Acts is really, the first part of the book of Acts is wrapped around these wonderful, strong stand of Peter. The guy he said he was going to be in that room is the guy he ended up being. But there was this moments in between where the doubt and the fears and all of the things of life caused Peter to get off course.
Yeah.
And this is what it's always better to obey first.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Maybe you're sitting there and you feel like, you know, I said I was going to, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And there's a moment when that hits us. I said I was going to, and I'm not. Yeah. And there's shame and there's guilt that come with that. And a lot of times that shame and that guilt drives us to walk further away instead of returning around and walking back to. And what I want to encourage you today, if you're like that and you're feeling, man, you're feeling the shame, you're feeling the guilt, you're feeling like, man, I'm not walking in obedience, and just listening to this podcast is making me feel bad. Here's what I want you to do. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Get back to God.
Right.
Turn, find your moment and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and I know what I'm doing wrong. And maybe some of you are like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I just know I'm a mess right now. Then exactly what Allison said, David prayed this prayer. God, just show me what's going on in my life that's wrong. Show it to me and help me fix it. And watching God speak to us, show us, reveal to us what all's going on in our life that needs to be different. And then we make a commitment to say, you know what? I'll take the small steps of obedience to be able to get back to where I need to be with in this relationship with you.
Yeah.
And as I move in that direction, I feel the love and the peace and the joy. And I start to experience God in a way that he's promised I would experience him. And instead of, a lot of times our disobedience causes us to feel shame and guilt, which causes us to run the opposite direction. And I feel worse than I felt before.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage everybody, let's go the right direction with our responses here.
Yeah. And let's the obedience, just as quickly as disobedience spirals backwards, I feel like obedience builds forward.
Absolutely.
Once you begin this habit of obedience or habit stacking, I'm going to obey God in prayer and Bible reading and intentional kindness and intentional, you know, hard work or whatever it is, that builds on each habit builds on each other, and it creates, you know, so you can see that abundant fruit. You can see that abundant life. You can experience, you know, what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's really great to close this podcast with the very last couple sentences of this chapter. I think it's just a great way to remind us and a great way to close out. So listen to Blackaby's words. He says, whenever you sense obedience is too costly, that indicates you have misunderstood who you are and what you have. As a disciple of Christ, you have been bought with a price, and you are not your own. Everything you have belongs to God.
Yeah.
You are a manager of God's resources. Since you belong to him, renew your dedication to him for his purposes. Pray and agree with God that anything he asks is reasonable.
Yeah.
Commit yourself to pay the price to obey his will and begin watching now for the first opportunity to obey what he asks.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, I mean, what a great way. Let's all of us just begin right now to say, I'm going to pay attention, God, to where you're asking me to be obedient. And the next place I see it, I'll obey you.
Exactly. That is it's a beautiful and very inspirational and encouraging way to finish talking about obedience, because sometimes obedience seems so heavy, seems so impossible. But again, be watching now for the first opportunity to obey what God asks, and be willing, you know, just be willing to do it.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you'll join us next time on the podcast. We're excited to, we're going to have some more interviews coming up with some people who've experienced God. You don't want to miss those. And then we'll bring this book, wrap this book up to the very end conclusion as we get closer. And so we're getting there. So thanks for joining us along the way. We hope it's life-changing for you. It's great reminders. And as we close the podcast out, just a great reminder, let's go out and obey what we know to do. And let's just watch God change our weeks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Rooted Deep. To learn more about Dare for More Ministries, go to dareformore.org and look up Mercy Workshop at mercyjewelry.org.